Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hello, welcome back to another episode from our series Pregnancy Stories, where international moms living in Finland tell about their pregnancies. I'm Eleonora, and I'm here today with Brenna, a mother of two boys, twin boys. Today she will be sharing her story about her twin pregnancy, the birth, and how much it changed her family's everyday life. Hi Brenna, it's so nice to have you here with me. I'm super excited to be recording this episode today, as I have always had a little bit of an obsession regarding twins, and have always secretly wanted to have twins myself.
Hi there. It's really great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Maybe we can start off with a short introduction about yourself and how you ended up here in Finland.
Absolutely. So my husband and I moved from Canada to Finland in 2018, and this was for his work. We've both always wanted to work and live abroad, and so this was like a dream come true. It was an opportunity that we had to accept. So after a few months of traveling and exploring the city of Helsinki, I started working in the marketing department of a software company in Espoo and became pregnant a short while after that. And now here we are.
Wow, that's I think a lot of our listeners and expats parents in Finland share your story. either it's for work opportunity or for your partner. So you're one of the lucky ones that don't have a Finnish partner.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest question here is, when did you get to know that you're having twins? And did you already have some kind of hunch it could be twins, or was it kind of totally out of the blue?
It was completely out of the blue. Not only do twins like not run in my family at all, these were spontaneous twins, but this was also my first pregnancy. So I had nothing to compare it to that might have suggested that there were two babies. So yeah, I was feeling really exhausted and nauseous and bloated, which are all very common symptoms of your first trimester. And a few times my husband joked that, you know, there's got to be two babies in there, and like, you know, you're looking a little more bloated. Of course, you know, what would he know about that? But yeah, so
he knew a lot.
Exactly, right? But no, we didn't find out until our 12-week scan. And it's, you know, it wasn't exactly a hint, but we think it's a really funny story. So on the way to this ultrasound, where we found out that we were having the twins, we actually passed a set of twins on the street. And I'm not joking, one of them looked directly at me. And I turned to my husband and I asked him if he thought this was an omen. And, you know, we laughed about this at the time. We're like, no, it's fine. And then, of course, hours later, we found out that it was in fact true. And he laughed some more, but I was crying. So
I think that will be my exact same reaction. I always, like I mentioned before, I was always kind of a bit hoping that I would have twins. I don't know why. Just for the excitement, I really don't know why. It's just maybe a stupid thing or a strange thing. But I know that how much I cried when I got to know that we are having a baby and everything is okay.
Yeah.
And so on. So how did it, like when you were having the scan, did you notice straight away that there's two, or did I have to tell you?
That's interesting. So prior to this exam, I had spent a lot of time on, you know, different pregnancy forums, and I had seen a bunch of ultrasounds. And so when the midwife was, you know, rubbing the wand across my belly, I kept thinking that I saw a glimpse of a uterus, and I was like, oh, it's over there. No, wait, no, it's over there. Like, there's the egg. No, it's over there. And so I just, you know, not being a trained ultrasound technician, assumed that I didn't know what I was looking at, when in fact she was really running the stomach over the two different eggs. So a little bit of a hint, I guess.
That's really amazing. How did your husband react when you got to know that that you're having twins? Was it kind of a shock in the first moment, or?
Absolutely a shock. Yeah, but it was a happy shock for him. He's a really, you know, positive, glasses half full type of person. So immediately he was going, like, running through the scenarios of, like, we've got built-in best friends, like, we're going to be a core four. You know, he only saw the positives. And that's, you know, I was, of course, a little more nervous, having, you know, it's my body. So I was scared about all the health issues. And, you know, I'm just happy that he was very excited about it. But another thing during the ultrasound, the technician, you know, she was explaining everything that would happen, which mm-hmm. I'm sure she does with every, you know, expecting mother that comes in. And she was just explaining, you know, come lie up on the table and we're going to, you know, take a look and we'll look for heartbeats and we'll see what's happening. And you'll note that she said, look for heartbeats. And we just assumed that this was perhaps a language barrier and we didn't think twice about it. And so then she's, you know, as I mentioned, she's waving the wand over me and I'm thinking I see stuff. And she finally hones in and she's like, okay, here we go. Yes. So here is the baby and here is the other baby. And that's when we both were shocked, shocked into silence. Yeah.
That's a really touching story. I have to say, really, yeah, like you see in the movies, kind of.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yeah.
And what about after you got to know that you're having twins? What changed regarding kind of Neo Bella visits and overall the care that you have been getting by the Finnish healthcare? Mm-hmm.
Overall, I was very pleased with the quality of healthcare that I received in Finland. I got both the same number of appointments that I would have gotten, you know, with a singleton pregnancy. Mm-hmm. However, the only thing that ended up changing was I did end up getting more hospital doctor visits later into my pregnancy due to some complications. So otherwise, it remained pretty much the same, which I was a little bit surprised about.
That's actually really surprising. I thought I was really expecting that you would get, I don't know, more appointments with Neo Bella or more appointments maybe with the doctor or more ultrasounds or something. So. It doesn't change that much of the basic things that you get.
Exactly, yes. And you know, I was really lucky in my situation. The majority of my pregnancy was really smooth sailings and there were no complications in the beginning. So there wasn't a need for me to see the doctor more frequently. I, you know, comparing this to Canada and North America, you know, where I was getting a lot of my pregnancy information from these North American forums where a lot of the time, you know, mothers of twins are sent to specialists right off the bat to begin with. And so I was expecting, because I'd read all this stuff on my, you know, North American blogs and whatnot, that I was going to go see this specialist. And no, I kept seeing our fantastic Neo Bella nurse. I had, you know, two doctor's appointments. That was about it. I'd say the only difference, I guess, later is every time we did see the doctor, we got that ultrasound.
So they always kind of checked.
Yeah.
So, let's say more detailed than with the singleton.
Exactly. Yeah. Like our appointments were a little bit longer, around an hour. And I think you usually get two ultrasounds with the pregnancy. And I lost count after like number 8. So.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually it's with a singleton pregnancy. And if everything is okay, if there's no complications, there's a ultrasound at 12 weeks and at 20 weeks.
Yeah,
and that's it. So yeah, that's okay. That's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so when if you compare it to Canada, like you said, or to North America, there is quite a big difference to how it is here. Did you feel like in a negative or in a or more neutral way or a positive way when you kind of realize that in Finland you don't get sent to a specialist and that there isn't any kind of, let's say, special treatment, even though you're having twins? In the beginning, at least.
That's a good question. I think it sort of, I guess, would depend. Neutral. There is instances where I, you know, being a first-time parent, I felt completely, you know, overwhelmed and would have loved to have somebody maybe coddle me a little bit more. But I also really love that, you know, how it worked out was I had these longer, more frequent meetings with a Neo Bella nurse and then shorter doctor appointments, which meant that, you know, I could really form a relationship with the nurse, and we could have longer conversations. And then these doctor's appointments were, you know, strictly down to business. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that. I guess the con for that would be that in Finland, this nurse that you go through your pregnancy with isn't actually in the delivery. So that's a big difference of what I know from friends' experience in Canada, is that, you know, in Canada, you find your midwife or your doctor who's going to be with you throughout the entire pregnancy and delivery. So you do get this opportunity to build a strong relationship with one doctor's office. And a con for that is, I have some friends that had to actually go out and find their own doctor. So they had to interview different doctors to make sure that, you know, this is somebody whose attitudes towards birth match mine, but also that this doctor has space in their schedule when I'm intended to deliver.
That's really crazy. That has to be really stressful, because I know how stressful it was being pregnant and just going to these normal doctor's appointments here and then nurse appointments and everything. So thinking about that, I would have to find the right hospital and the right doctor for me. It's really crazy. I'm really happy that in Finland it is like this, even though it is, like you mentioned, a little bit less personal or personalized. And I've heard that from a lot of expat moms, that the little more personal kind of way of doing things and being pregnant and getting kind of a bit more personalized attention is missing here in Finland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, pros and cons of each system. There's probably no perfect way to do it.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. And what about talking about kind of the public healthcare and so on, about Kela and their allowances and so on? Did it change anything regarding your maternity leave, the amount or the paternity leave, the Kela boxes? How does it work for twins?
Yeah, so the fun part.
Because for singletons, you get one box and...
Yes. So with multiples, your maternity grant is multiplied by, in my case, I got my maternity box times 3. So I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure of how the math works out. I know if you're having twins, you get 3 boxes. If you're having triplets, you would get, I think, 6 boxes. So,
oh, wow.
And it's up to you how you'd like to, accept this maternity grant. You can take it as the finished baby box. You can take it as cash. You can take it as a combination of the two, which is what we ended up doing. We got 2 boxes. So we had double of everything. And then we took the 3rd box as a cash value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And what about when it comes to maternity leave and staying at home with the babies? Do you get some extra time, or does the dad get more time than with a singleton, or how does it work? Because I don't know, when in comparison, let's say my husband, he could stay at home 3 weeks overlapping with me. So I assume with twins, you get a bit more time together.
You do. You do get more time. So the basic paternity and maternity leave are the same. It's the parental allowance, which increases with multiples, at least with twins, you get an additional 60 days. So instead of 158 days, you get 218 days. And this can be applied to the maternity, the paternity, or to both of your leaves. And so dads do have the option to stay home for 16 weeks.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And that honestly, really nice. You really need it. You really need to have both people there.
I can't even imagine. So finally, it was time to give birth, or that's at least how it usually goes for us with a singleton pregnancy. What about for you? Was there birth planning with doctors, midwives, or were you part of any support groups that were focused on twin moms and parents?
Yeah, so there was planning in a sense. There were many discussions about what might or what could happen. So from the beginning, I was told that twins are commonly delivered via cesarean. However, there are so many factors that can influence birth, such as, you know, the position of the babies and, you know, the health of the mother and the babies. So I guess I went into it with an open mind, knowing that I couldn't control it. And I, had to sort of relinquish that trust to the people that were trained, and who knew what to do. So, yeah, that was the planning. In terms of support, I struggled with finding an in-person support group during pregnancy. I know that there is the Finnish Multiple Society, and that's you can join this group in Helsinki and all throughout Finland, but it is a Finnish group. And so for me at the time, I was just feeling so overwhelmed with the twins that I wasn't able to, handle adding a language barrier as well. Coincidentally, I've actually met so many parents of multiples out on playgrounds around Helsinki, and some of them are in this Finnish Multiple Society. So, I like that I was still able to meet some of these women, even though I wasn't part of the official society to begin with. Where I did find support was with apps. I used the What to Expect app from the famous, What to Expect When You Are Expecting book. And this has a really active multiples forum. And I found it really informative and just really supportive to read the stories of other women and to know that what I was thinking and feeling, I was not alone in that. I definitely struggled with isolation during my pregnancy and, afterwards as well. And so knowing that there's other women out here, and other families that are experiencing this too, it felt so great to connect with them via this app.
Yeah, I
And
think it's really important in any situation, and not only with the twins, but especially during pregnancy and afterwards, you have kind of to know that you're not alone with your problems or issues or thoughts. I think that's really the worst when you struggle for some reason and think that there nobody else is going through this and that maybe you're crazy or worrying too much or this or that, and then you see that other people think and feel the same, and then you feel a bit better about yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I also listen to a ton of twin podcasts, such as the Twin Talks podcast and the Twiniversity podcast. And what made these great is that they delve into all issues of pregnancy and parenting multiples. So it's not just, one-off episode about twins, but it's breastfeeding twins and, daycare twins and potty training twins. So you really have these like dedicated long discussions.
Yeah,
And then,
and I bet one needs them.
yes,
We're gonna get to that a bit later.
yes, we
How
will.
you have survived once the babies arrived.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story. But what about when it comes to Neuvola and the public healthcare system? Would you have wanted maybe more support from them? Maybe support groups or some more specific info or help? Maybe some therapist sessions or counseling regarding having twins and being kind of pregnant with twins.
Absolutely, yes. I wish that Nivola had done more to organize meetups of women delivering around the same time, either around a certain theme or just in general. Everybody who's delivering in the fall gets together. I would have loved it even more if they had broke that into women who are expecting multiples. As I mentioned, I felt incredibly isolated during my pregnancy. So, and there is a natural language barrier being an expat here. So
Oh,
having,
of course.
having some other organization help get us all together would have been amazing. And same thing for counseling services. I think that, mental health is just as important as your physical health, and the two need to be combined when we're talking about, pregnancy. So
Yeah, I completely agree. We recorded it's not out yet, the episode about postpartum care, and we were talking also about mental health care and also during pregnancy, and I didn't even realize how much I would have wanted to have some kind of counseling after giving birth. Just to I was we were discussing it during our podcast, and we came to the conclusion that it would be amazing if every mom who gave birth could get two sessions, let's say, for free from the public healthcare to counseling sessions where you could just talk. They could just talk about whatever is on their minds. And I think that really misses that is really kind of missing in the in this healthcare from the public side and overall for women. I think especially in the postpartum kind of moment, you have so much on your mind and you don't know who to share it with and if you're crazy or if all of these things are normal. So I think, like you said, it would be really an amazing thing if that would have been kind of part of the whole experience.
Yeah, definitely. The whole fourth trimester, you know, what happens after you give birth is, you know, it, and for first time parents, it's something that you really can't understand until you've gone through it. And so having, you know, resources like your healthcare provider give you counseling sessions to talk about these things that come up and happen to your body and happen to your emotions after you give birth would be fantastic. And should two sessions would be amazing. I absolutely love that idea.
Yeah, let's hope it comes up in the future and they decide to add those too. But that's a whole new discussion. And what about and then it was actually really time to give birth. So how did it go for you? You mentioned to me previously that you actually had a natural delivery. And yes. I'm really amazed and I'm really kind of looking forward to hearing this because I also usually heard that twins are born via cesarean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's true. But I was induced at 38 weeks and delivered naturally a day later. The whole experience was emotionally and physically and mentally traumatic and exhausting. But overall, I felt really proud to have brought two human beings into the world. I know that I would have felt that way no matter how they came into the world. It was just like...
This is an extra.
This is an extra.
Like a cherry on top.
Yeah, exactly. Because I really had, you know, I had set my, you know, my hopes aside and I was just focused on the health. From the very beginning, ever since they told me, you know, this is what typically happens, I said, okay, then I will be prepared for whatever happens. And, you know, my mantra throughout the entire pregnancy was 38 would be great because 38 weeks is actually considered full term for twins.
Full term. Mm.
Yeah. So I kept, you know, I kept hoping and trying for this and, you know, or some complications arose around 32 weeks. I was put on immediate, like I pulled out of work sick leave. And you know, my baby A had suddenly stopped measuring on their growth trajectory. And so that was really alarming. And, you know, they had to get me to, you know, 36 weeks so that the lungs could develop. And then there was the concern that if something happens with baby A has to come out and then baby B, like, is that too soon for them? And it was really stressful. So
I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
I know how it was stressful for me, and there was only one baby.
It's okay. They tell you, you know, just go home and relax. And how do you go home?
How?
But no, I was able to make it to 38 weeks, and you know, at my appointment, it was a regular scheduled doctor's appointment. They told me to prepare that I might be induced. And turns out that the baby A, his water was measuring less. So they said, you know, this is a sign, we should do this. And I said, okay. And then the next day I had babies.
Two of them.
Two of them, yeah. I remember getting like wheeled from the delivery room and up to the recovery floor. And it was the first time I got to hold both babies at the same time. And I was just, I was filled with so much pride and probably still coming off all the drugs. But I remember wanting more people to have seen me because I wanted to show them off. Like I wanted to be like, look at my little badges of honor. I have two babies.
I can imagine that. I know, I remember the feelings how it was to hold one baby. So having given birth to two, like at the same time, kind of in the same day, it has to be really unbelievable and amazing, amazing feeling. And how was it at the hospital? Which hospital did you give birth in?
Nice and Clinica.
Did you automatically with twins get private room, like family room and so on?
We did. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's really great. And what about the recovery? So I know recovering from one baby is not always that easy. How did your recovery go?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about it?
Yeah, so
especially about the care about you from the healthcare side, because we covered in our birth episodes that we're really happy how the babies are taken care of once you have given birth, but we all three kind of agree that we weren't as happy about the mother's care after the birth. Mm-hmm. So it would be really interesting to hear from your kind of side.
Yeah. My hospital stay lasted 5 days, like from the day I was admitted to the day I left.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as recovery goes, I felt better after a month, but in hindsight, I would say no. it definitely took at least 6 months for me to truly start feeling and also believing that I was healing. And then I would say, you know, by a year, I'm much better. But that's interesting that you bring up the difference in care between the baby and the mother. And leading up through my pregnancy, I was quite pleased with the healthcare that I'd received, with the exception of the mental health side of things. But yeah, you know what? After the birth, I do wish that maybe there had been a little bit more guidance. And you just feel so overwhelmed, and you're sleep deprived, and for us, we were in this tiny little, you know, hospital family room, and mm-hmm. we had to stay because they were concerned about the baby's weight and, you know, jaundice. And so there's all this focus on the babies and making sure that, you know, they're okay. And I wasn't okay. I remember on the fifth day, yeah. the morning that we were leaving, they had given me a printout of like describing the birth and what had happened. Mm-hmm. And it was in Finnish. And, you know, that made me cry. And of course, like I don't expect special treatment because I speak English and I'm living in a foreign country. But I just completely broke down, and I felt not in touch with myself, and I didn't know who to ask for help with that. And mm-hmm. and I did find one nurse who was able to, you know, read it to me, but it, you know, it wasn't the same as somebody coming and asking me how I'm doing. And I would have loved if a lactation consultant had come and sit with me and not just tell me, okay, so this is what you need to do, and then leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I needed somebody there.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally understand. We actually discussed this topic as well, and we said it would be much nicer if kind of there would be more hands-on, mm-hmm. and also that you didn't always have to ask for the things that you wanted to get. Mm-hmm. For example, there is actually, Katya did that, our co-host, that you can go with the doctor or with the midwife who delivered mm-hmm. the babies. You can go through the whole birth procedure and how it went, and they comment on it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know about it. I did not know about it until Katya mentioned it. And you just have to ask for it.
Yeah.
I think that is the biggest problem in Finland, that there is a lot of things that one can get, but nobody knows about it. Of course, they don't actively promote it because they have a limited amount of people and money and everything, budget. But for you, for example, that maybe would have helped, and they would have for sure been able to go through it in English because everybody speaks English nowadays. So yeah, it's really a pity because I think a lot of people miss out on a lot of different things just because they don't know they're available. And how would you know? I mean, especially as a first-time parent, how would you know this is a possibility? There's no way of knowing.
Yes, exactly. And actually, I have to admit, on the first day that we were taken up to this family room, somebody did ask me if I wanted to speak to the doctor who had, mm-hmm. you know, done the delivery. And I said no, because I had just come from speaking with the doctor. So to me, it was like, well, what do they need to tell me? And not realizing that this would have been that opportunity to have somebody go through everything. Because I remember, mm-hmm. you know, reading this translated version, using Google Translate in the dark so that the phone light didn't wake the babies, and just sobbing, reading this and thinking, oh, this is why that happened. And this is why everybody rushed, you know, and it was so overwhelming. And yeah, you know, I just needed to know that I could have asked for that and I didn't.
Yeah, it's really sad, really a missed opportunity, because I think the recovery, especially the mental one, especially for moms that went through some traumatic experiences during the birth, but even for moms who didn't have any big traumas during the birth, it's really nice to know kind of what happened to you, especially because most of the moms are so drugged. Like I can remember, or I can't really remember, when I was giving birth to my first one, I was so drugged that I could barely remember the last half an hour before I gave birth. It's in such a fog.
Yeah,
it's really crazy. So it was really nice to actually read, okay, this actually happened during that time. And in comparison, I can compare it to the second birth that I had, where I wasn't drugged like that. And it was a totally different experience for me mentally. Mm-hmm. So especially if you didn't have this kind of clearness in your head, or if it was just overwhelming, which it is always.
Yeah,
it would be really nice to go over these kind of small details with somebody, some professional, to get to know kind of what actually happened to you.
Yeah. And time moves so differently when you're in the moment experiencing it. You know, I thought
that's true.
I thought, you know, the longest amount of time was between baby A being born and baby B. And it really wasn't. It was like 40 minutes. But I was just like, I was ready to give up. I was exhausted. I was like, it's been an hour, guys. Like, it's been 2 hours. Like, but no, you know, you really have no idea of what's going on. And so, yeah, having an opportunity to sort of like put those puzzle pieces together later.
True. So what about the part that everybody's waiting to hear, including me? How did you survive with two small babies on the outside? Do you feel like you have to feel like a superwoman by now? I think I had my two boys 15 months apart, and that was really challenging at times, and still is. And so I can't even imagine how it has to be for you and your husband.
Yeah. Well, the first year was really hard. They're 16 months now, and it's still hard. It's hard in all of the obvious ways that being a first-time parent can be hard, like, you know, navigating sleep and sleep regressions, teething and breastfeeding. But just the fact that there are two babies makes it so much more demanding physically and mentally. And, you know, I really struggled with postpartum rage and breastfeeding, isolation, and just like so much mom guilt. And the guilt was intensified because it was two babies to worry about. So, you know, you're just worried about your baby in general as a new mother. And then you have, you know, the complexity of guilt that is, you know, how do I triage like my babies? Like, who needs me more in this moment? And having to just make that decision is incredibly hard.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. It has to be really heartbreaking at moments where you know that you can't maybe hold both in the same time or change both and so on.
Yeah.
So it has to be really, I really can't even imagine. It's really kind of crazy. But you mentioned breastfeeding. That's actually one thing that I wanted to ask you. Did you breastfeed both of them for a longer time, or how did it go?
We did nurse. But I did not have a very large supply, so I had to pump, or I made the decision to pump, and then even doing that was not enough, and so we supplemented with formula. So feeding was quite a process. It was nursing, it was then pumping, and it was feeding and supplementing. So
that sounds super stressful.
Yeah, I was really, you know, lucky. For the first 3 months we had help. My mom came for the birth. And for 2 months after that, and then and then my in-laws came for the third month, which was right around Christmas. So it was, you know, really nice to have family around. And this, honestly, it was such a blessing. We were very lucky that we were able to have our family come all the way over here to help us. But after that, and ever since, we have been on our own completely. So so I would say, you know, having a routine has been a must for us. And it's been like that from the very beginning in the hospital. The midwives had us on a feeding and a sleeping schedule, and it's stuck. And I live by the schedule, I die by the schedule. So
I totally agree with this. I have to say, when I had my or when we had our second boy, I also, even with the first one, I already had a quite set routine and so on. But especially when the second one arrived, I was so strict about the routine. Like, mm-hmm. now we're eating, now we're sleeping. And I always say that it's one of the things that totally saved me and kept me sane, mm-hmm. at least until they were bigger. But yes. it really helps. I think it brings not just for the babies kind of a calmness and a routine, and kids love routine. It's what they live for, how I say it. Mm-hmm. But also to the parents, because you know what to do next. For me, I'm such a person that always plans things. So if I don't know what's going to happen next, I get really stressed out. So for me, this whole routine thing was kind of just a way of calming my nerves and knowing, okay, I have all this whole day planned out. And of course, not everything goes by plan, but at least there is a plan somewhat to follow.
Yeah, and you know, you're sort of in this weird sleep deprived, you know, weird mindset. And so having these, you know, this routine and this structure to your day, it takes away the guesswork, you know. You know that, you know, after 3 hours or whatever, they're gonna wake up, we're gonna feed them, then we're gonna burp them, then they're gonna lie down, and we're gonna repeat, you know. It gave us some much needed sanity and that structure that we didn't think that we needed. But then when we abandoned the schedule for a day to see how that would be and total chaos reigned, we promptly went back to the schedule.
Yeah, I can understand that. And what about, you mentioned your husband, of course, many times. And how did you, how much did he do from the beginning onwards? I mean, as I understood, he was there, of course, a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was really important to have him there, because with two kids, it's not that easy. So how was he doing, and also mentally coping maybe with the whole situation? Was mm-hmm. it a big shock for him?
Yes, I mean, of course. But he was great. He was incredibly helpful, and I think I maybe only had to change 5 diapers in that first month. So I just, you know, I thank him and my mom for stepping up and taking care of all of that. But he was fantastic. And you know, I always knew that he would be. And I think having two at once meant that there was really no option for him not to. Mm-hmm. Because there was nobody else, you know, coming to help us. So, you know, times when maybe I would have just been holding a baby snuggled up in a bed, like, then there was two of us, you know, and
But that also must have made kind of amazing bond, not just between you two, but also for the babies and the dad. It's something really special that maybe not every baby gets to have so much.
Yes, he calls them his little buds, and they really have formed a bond. And I think that he was surprised even in himself to realize that, like, he could have this immediate and this, like, intimate bond with his sons like this, at such a young age, when typically, you know, you just think the baby and the mom are together, and, you know, it's baby mm-hmm. and mama bonding time. And it's not, it's family bonding time. And he got an opportunity to do that. And he got an opportunity to do that more when he was able to take paternity leave, which is not always an option in Canada. This is something that, you know, you typically have to negotiate with your employer, whereas in mm-hmm. Finland, it is like the father's given right to have paternity leave. So he had an opportunity to take care of the babies on his own and to, you know, develop this relationship that is unique and special and different to the one that we have.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think also, to come back to the first point that you made, that it's family bonding time. I also always saw it like that. For me, it was when our boys were born, for me, it was really important that the dad is included in everything, in feeding, in changing, in bonding, in holding the babies, everything. I didn't want to be kind of like the only parent, because I'm not the only parent. They have a dad too. And I Yes. always say it's 50-50. And I always say that I hate when people ask me, oh, how much is your husband helping? And I'm always saying he's not helping. He's just being their dad. It's, I think, one thing that people really often forget. And maybe back in the day, the roles were quite strict, let's say it like that. The women were taking care of the babies, the dads were working. But nowadays, it's not like that anymore. And I think it's amazing. I think every dad should have the opportunity to take this paternity leave and spend the time alone with the kids and not just having the mom there kind of hover over him.
Yeah.
And tell him like what to do and what he's doing wrong or right.
Yeah. And that's interesting. Like, and it's not that he's necessarily doing it wrong. It's that he's doing it differently. And I think yes. that sometimes I know for myself, I'm, you know, controlling in my own ways and I like things done in a certain way. And so that can be stressful when he's taking an approach that's different than mine, but he is also getting the job done. And
and that's the important thing in the end.
It is. And I think the most valuable thing, other than, I guess, this beautiful relationship that he now has with our sons, is the empathy that our relationship got from him having this opportunity to be on parental leave. Empathy and understanding for what it takes to be home alone with the kids all day. Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally sign that one. My husband is at the moment at home with our younger son. And this thing that you also mentioned, that he does it in his own way, it's driving me crazy some days. Some days I'm just like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? I come home and it's like a huge mess. And who knows what they did? And I don't know. Then he sends me pictures. Oh, he didn't want a nap. I just took him and we cuddled and we watched TV. I was like, what are you doing? And then I realized he got the job done. Like, the baby's a lie. I mean, baby, he's already 20 months old. But he's getting the job done. And our son is loving the time with his dad. I bet that dad is much more fun because he does all these, like, things that I wouldn't necessarily do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's really hard. I'm also this type that is a bit controlling. As I said previously, I love to plan. So, yeah, I had my way of doing things, so it's really hard to let go and just kind of let them be. It's something that I'm still learning as well. It's not that easy.
I think we'll continue to learn it throughout their lives.
Yes, I think we're in for the next, 30 plus years
yeah.
of learning. And what about, actually, one more question. Was there anything that surprised you, positively or negatively, in comparison to what you were expecting with when you got to know that you're going to have twins?
Yeah, I think I was just so hung up on the what ifs that I didn't, you know, like what if it was really hard to have two babies? What if I struggled getting them into a stroller? You know, I worried all the time about things that could be hard, and I didn't give myself the mental space to sort of celebrate all the amazing things. And there are so many amazing things. I'm so lucky. I love my family. I love this opportunity that I have to be mama to these little twins. There's so many amazing things.
It has to be really amazing. I know all these viral videos from online when the twins are holding hands and then just giggling at each other, and at this really small age where usually maybe babies wouldn't even be interacting that much with one another, it always makes me cry.
That's exactly it. Like, you get these sweet moments where maybe they love sharing food with each other. One of them really loves fruit, the other one is not a huge fan, so they'll swap. So, you know, one will give the other one their toast in exchange for some fruit. And they definitely egg each other on. Like, one started walking and the other one saw how me and my husband reacted with excitement that, you know, baby A is walking. He literally got up and tried to walk, you know? And they're funny and they're so mischievous and they love playing with each other. And yeah.
Yeah, that has to be one really positive side of having twins, that especially now maybe in this corona situation where you can't really go out and meet people that much anymore, that at least they have a play buddy.
Yes, we're very lucky that they've had this opportunity to interact with their peer, you know, with another baby. Mm. And we didn't realize how lucky we were in the beginning, because nobody really knew the extent of this, you know, corona situation. And I don't know if we can say that we do now, but, you know, looking back on that, and every morning they got to play with each other and, you know, go on walks and see another baby's face and see that development. It's just, yeah, we're really lucky. Although I would also add that, you know, you have two boys as well. So you know how the energy level can get. And, you know, when you have play dates with kids, there's a reason why play dates, they move around from different households, because having the play date always at your house is a lot. And so I would say that, you know, the energy can get quite crazy when every day you wake up and that friend you were having so much fun with last night is here again. And so the screaming and the yelling and the singing starts all over again. So it's
I know that feeling. Yeah, I know that feeling. And I have to tell you, it's just going to get worse. The energy levels just get worse. Our older son, he's going to be 3 in a month from now. And he's completely insane. It's insanely active. We just had a play date yesterday with some of my friends who have sons Magnus's age, my younger son's age. Mm-hmm. And they just said, the mom said that they've never seen a kid as intense as Henrik is, my older son. He was just running around the house for the 3 hours, and he does that from the moment he opens his eyes until he closes his eyes in the evening. And it's we would want to have a third one, and I'm just thinking in moments like these, am I really ready for a third one? What if it's another boy? What if it's twins?
It's true. What if it's twins? Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I have to say, that would be my, well, I don't want to say worst nightmare, because it's not, but that would be very, very interesting. Let's say it like that.
Yeah. It's a surprise no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. Lastly, I wanted to ask you for any tips that you would maybe have for a fellow twin-to-be mom, both during your pregnancy and once the babies arrive. Do you have maybe a top 5 essentials that every twin mom needs?
Yes. So I would say, first, allow yourself the space to feel whatever it is that you're feeling without judgment. Being a twin parent is a unique situation from most parents. So it's okay if you're feeling differently than how your friends or family members felt when they were pregnant and becoming new parents. And I would just add, don't hesitate to seek counseling or help if your feelings are becoming overwhelming. But yeah, just, it's okay to feel what you're feeling. Just let it happen.
I think recommendation for any pregnant mom or mom that just gave birth. I think that's really something that isn't said that much, or is maybe kind of like a taboo, that everybody should just feel super happy and super excited about getting to know that you're pregnant or about that you just had a baby. And it's not always just flowers and happy feelings. Definitely not. I think this is really important to talk about and to seek help if one really thinks that you need it.
Definitely. And, you know, twins are, it's overwhelming at times, and it's amazing at times. And, you know, the feelings that you have, sometimes you feel that you can't talk to anybody because nobody else is going through your situation, but you're absolutely right. You know, more people than you think are experiencing these ups and downs, and, you know, the depth and complexity of these emotions. And so, it's okay, basically. That's my number one advice, is that it's okay.
It's okay, yeah. That's a really good one.
So second, I would say that everything seems impossible until you do it. So to all my twin parents out there, you know, it's going to be okay. But, you know, the first time you do something, it seems just impossible. And then the next time, it's going to get a little bit easier, and so on and so on. And then you're going to be a pro. And that seems really simple for me to say, but when you're facing that first time that you're leaving the house with your twins, or the first time that you're doing bedtime alone with them, you know, don't worry about the big picture. Just start with the first thing that you have to do. And whatever your task is, start small, one step at a time. And then also to get a schedule, because a schedule is a lifesaver.
And what about, you mentioned that you had also some essential products that you maybe used with your twins. What saved your life?
Yeah, so during pregnancy, my best friend was the pregnancy body pillow. It supports the belly, it supports the back. It's amazing. I absolutely recommend getting a body pillow. The twin nursing pillow. These are so great, not just if you're doing tandem nursing, but you can prop the babies up in this pillow for bottle feeding as well. You can sort of flip the pillow around and prop the babies up for tummy time. It's incredibly versatile. We're still using our twin, quote unquote, nursing pillow. It's just a pillow in our living room that we like to sit on when we're reading books. So I think it's absolutely worth investing in the twin nursing pillow. My next twin essential product would be a portable and rechargeable electric breast pump like the Spectra S1. This is a little bit more expensive. It does ship from North America, but it's wireless. So like you can charge it up and then you can take it into another room, close the door, put on some headphones and have a little bit of peace to pump on your own. And not being plugged into an outlet on a wall is an amazing part of this product. The last two items on my twin essential list would be dual zipper pajamas. Honestly, just forget about snaps and buttons. Don't waste your time with that. Get pajamas that have zips on both ends. Then you can just zip out the little legs, change the diaper, and zip them back in. And you don't need to get baby undressed and get them all cold. It's a lifesaver.
Yeah, those are really great. Those were actually one of my essential baby essentials as well. Those are the best thing ever.
Yes, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know why baby clothes are still being made with snaps and buttons. It's just...
Yeah. I don't understand it either. Especially the pajamas that have like 20 buttons and then you button one wrong and then it's all gone to waste.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. lastly, I'd say an ergonomic baby carrier. Invest in this. It might seem expensive up front, but it's something that you could be using every single day, multiple hours of the day. Your back will thank you.
When you mentioned the carrier, did you carry both babies in a carrier?
I didn't. I know
at the same time, you said like that.
I know that there actually are some companies that have twin carriers. So you carry one in the front and then you carry the other one on your back. We didn't do that. We had two baby Bjorns in the beginning. And then we switched, and I cannot think of the name of the carrier that we got, but it's fantastic. I'll let you know later if you want to like add that into the show notes or something. But
yeah, I can. Thank you. Okay, but that's a good thing. I was already imagining you going around with the two babies strapped on you somehow.
No, I mean I think I did it a couple times, and when they're so tiny when they were born, so you really could get away with it, but they quickly started putting on weight and it was not possible to have both to carry both the babies around.
That was it for today. Thank you for listening, and thank you, Brenna, for taking the time away from your boys and being a guest in our podcast. It was really amazing to hear a story like this firsthand.
Thank you, this was a lot of fun, and thanks for the opportunity to come and chat about what it's like to be a twin mom.
Yes, thank you. And tune in next time when we discuss a very important topic when it comes to parenthood postpartum. And we will discuss what physical and mental care you get in Finland and how to get most out of it. Have a great week. Bye-bye.